On May 22nd, as part of the worldwide call to action in solidarity with the Zapatistas, Radio Autonomía and Universidad de la Tierra Califas hosted a mitote, a space of community regeneration where autonomous community folks shared their palabra while celebrating our struggles. In the following segment, we highlight the collective interview we conducted with compañera Magdalena Cerda of La Sexta Tijuana. To learn more about Cerda's work, including Rebeldía magazine and other of the projects highlighted in the discussion, check out our website. The following segment is both in English and Spanish.
Well, thank you everyone for coming here and joining us. My name is Elisa and
Caro.
Hi. Yeah, and we're both going to be facilitating the conversation tonight. As you all received, hopefully, an email invitation to the mitote, which is something that, a practice that Universidad de la Tierra Califas has been doing for a while now, and that's one of the hosts tonight, and both Universidad de la Tierra Califas and Radio Autonomía. And just to give you a little sense of what a mitote is a mitote is a kind of cultural and political practice that we've reclaimed. It stems from an indigenous practice during Spanish colonial oppression in Mexico. Indigenous folks would gather to generate generate knowledge and share with each other, and also celebrate their resistance against colonial rule. And usually in mitote, being considered a mitotero is derogatory. Mm-hmm. It's kind of connotes like people who are up to no good. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we want to reclaim that practice. Mm-hmm. and acknowledge that we are up to no good against the repressive system. So that's why we try to create these spaces where we generate knowledge and regenerate ourselves as community and celebrate our resistance. And so we want to acknowledge also that there's a lot of folks in the room. So maybe what we'll do first is have some folks who are part of the hosting community, Radio Autonomía and Universidad de la Tierra Califas, kind of talk a little bit about themselves and the projects that they do, and then also maybe open it up to other people who are in the room and other projects that you work on as well.
Okay. So my name is Magali. I'm part of the Radio Autonomía Collective. And just to give a little brief introduction to what our project is, we put on what is currently a monthly radio show on Berkeley Liberation Radio, which is a pirate radio that broadcasts out of West Oakland, not out of Berkeley. ironically. We've been on Berkeley Liberation Radio since 2009. This is sort of the third name of this project. It started as Radio Zapatista, which was a project of the Chiapas Support Committee on KPFA. It then became an autonomous Radio Zapatista, kind of floating in cyberspace on its own. Then it became Relatos Zapatistas on Berkeley Liberation Radio, and more recently, Radio Autonomía, as a gesture towards kind of broader exploration of autonomy and anti-capitalist resistance in the Bay Area, as we kind of found ourselves shifting our focus away from specifically Chiapas to think about Zapatismo more broadly, and especially in its local manifestations. So we've done a lot of work over the last few years with the movements against the privatization of public education. A number of us are students and teachers in public schools and universities. We've also done a lot of work following kind of Occupy Oakland and its aftermath and continuations and non-continuations, and continuing to keep an eye on what's happening in Chiapas and continuing that dialogue, not only with folks in Mexico, but also in other parts of Latin America. So we've had folks kind of traveling around in the last couple of years and have a lot of reports from that. So we maintain a website with an archive of all of our work since 2005, and I invite you all to check that out. And yeah, so it's a pretty small collective, but that's undergone different transformations.
And there's some stickers?
Oh yeah, there's some stickers by the shoe rack. So take one or five on your way out.
Manolo, do you want to share a little bit?
Yeah, so I'm Manolo.
and I'm part of Universidad La Tierra. So Universidad La Tierra is really the result of us being up to no good for some time since we were back in Austin. There was a bunch of us in Austin in Acción Zapatista. And so Universidad La Tierra is our effort here in the Bay Area trying to embody a Zapatismo. And our effort is really organized around just that, creating a space of autonomous learning. And so we don't have a building and we don't have a bureaucracy, but we gather fairly regularly in a very consistent way in mitotes, certainly, but also in tertulias. We have a regular tertulia right near San Jose State Campus currently. And then, most importantly, we have two Ateneos. Ateneo is our effort to appropriate kind of the Spanish anarchist tradition of these spaces of learning where folks in struggle can reflect and act about how their struggles is unfolding. So we gather to think strategically about what we're doing well, what we can do better, but really what we're doing in relation to the Zapatistas and how we're learning from the Zapatistas. So we have two gatherings. One is a democracy Ateneo, and that is very, very deliberate in the sense that it's a space where we're thinking through how we think about a new way of doing politics. And then we're just convening now a social factory Ateneo, which is where we're thinking about all the wars that are converging and impacting our communities. So we're thinking about the war on the border, the war against black and brown youth, we're thinking about the war on drugs, the war on terror, but now also we're thinking more about the war against women and how the war against women is resulting in, or being fought out in terms of the privatization of care. So we're trying to learn about that in some ways. And that's what we do in the Universidad de la Tierra, Califas. We learn how to learn and kind of learn a new way of learning, which is really learning a new way of doing politics. So that's partly what we've been doing. We do also have occasional talleres where we kind of try to focus some of our efforts, whether it's analysis or certain kind of skills, whether it's it can be gardening or tactical cartographies, really anything. We just had one where we organized ourselves to learn how we really think about relational testimonios and how we gather to share our palabra, but to also do investigations. So we're like, we all noticed very much, for example, that this latest communique of the Zapatistas shared with us the investigation that was underway about our compañero Galeano, who's been taken from us, but we need to do the investigation to understand better how the government is working, what the state is doing, what capital is doing, and we've been insisting that that low-intensity war is here in the Bay Area, that we've been fighting against that low-intensity war here in the Bay Area for a long time, and it's the same low-intensity war.
I also want to thank our host house and the cooks, Adilia, Yvette, and Carol, for the wonderful meal that comida that they've made and shared with us. And do you want to talk a little bit more about the house?
We're a people of color collective house. We don't have a name. We've been trying to find one for a year. So that's us. We love to host events and stuff, so hit us up if you need to. Yeah.
Do you want to share?
Do you want to say anything else?
No, not really. It's good to be able to open up our space because we have all the space and we don't use it nearly enough, I think. So it's really nice to have. I
forgot to mention in the context why we're here today, is that there is a worldwide call to actions and solidarity with the Zapatista communities because of the brutal violence that Zapatista compañero specifically and then the comunidad and the larger movement has experienced through the loss of Maestro Galeano. And earlier today there was an action at the Mexican consulate in San Francisco where a number of at least 100 people where they're kind of disrupting business as usual, so.
Pues,
Muchas gracias a todos por venir y por darme este pequeño espacio de tiempo. Yo soy Magdalena Cerda Baez. Y porque yo sí tengo madre, ¿verdad?
Si quieren nomás introduce y luego ahorita empieza la presentación. But you want to translate that?
Hi, thank you everyone for hosting me here. So my name is Magdalena Cerda Baez because I have a mother.
Nada más relacionado con los zapatistas, pues desde el 94 que se da este levantamiento empezamos a hacer pequeños esfuerzos con otras organizaciones y otras personas en Tijuana.
So since 1984 when this movement,
uprising
came about, we began organizing with other groups in Tijuana.
Mm-hmm. Elías y yo sí estábamos en organizaciones políticas desde antes, feministas, un partido de izquierda, pero en ese momento no solo esta gente estaba apoyando el levantamiento zapatista, se levantó todo Tijuana, ¿no? Había eventos simultáneos, espontáneos en la calle, en el centro, de gente que venía de todos los partidos apoyar este levantamiento, porque primero se dieron cuenta que la causa era justa, que el rezago indígena era brutal y que si nosotros no hacíamos algo, el gobierno los iba a arrasar inmediatamente.
So, Elias and I were part of political groups back then, leftist, feminist political groups, and not only did these groups uprise with the indigenous communities, but also all groups, many different groups, came to the uprising, and there were many spontaneous actions happening all over the city, from everyone protesting and in solidarity with the Zapatistas, because we realized that indigenous brutality is
that they were going to continue the brutality against the uprising if everybody else didn't rise up as well.
Yeah, so everyone came together.
Bueno, como
gracias.
Les decía, yo estoy actualmente en una organización, un colectivo zapatista en Tijuana que se llama Colectivo Cosme Damián.
I am currently in a Zapatista group in Tijuana called Cosme Damián.
Una pregunta, ¿cuántos de aquí fueron a la escuelita zapatista?
How many of you here went to the escuelita?
Bueno, siempre que los zapatistas hacen algo como esto, se viene un acomodo y un nuevo plan. Los zapatistas siempre se están reciclando o reinventando. El esfuerzo de ir a la escuelita zapatista tiene un propósito. No lo sabemos todo. Yo creo que solo ellos lo saben.
So every time that the zapatistas do something like this, there's always an arrangement and a recycled way of doing things. And they're always exploring different ways. We don't pretend to know everything. They don't pretend to know everything. So we're moving. We're stepping as we. I mean, we're walking as we go. That's really weird.
Y esto se debe pues a dos características muy importantes. Ellos siempre hacen autocrítica, o sea, se evalúan realmente y honestamente, y tienen la práctica de caminar preguntando. Y siempre están viendo, ¿está bien así, compa? ¿Está bien cómo vamos? ¿Lo estamos haciendo bien? ¿Lo hicimos mal? ¿Queremos hacerlo de otra manera? Eso es el caminar preguntando. Pero no solo preguntan a las comunidades, nos preguntan a nosotros.
So the Zapatistas have a kind of dual practice of a constant kind of auto-reflection, self-reflection, as well as a caminar preguntando, a walking while asking questions. And so there's a continual ongoing process of asking, are we doing things well? How are things working? Are things working for everyone? What can we do better? And they not only ask these questions to their own communities, the autonomous communities, but also ask us, a big us.
Bueno, en este nuevo plan, tal vez para nosotros empieza con la escuelita, pero el siguiente paso es la rebeldía zapatista.
So with this new plan, it started with the Escuelita Zapatista, but it's continuing now with this next process of Rebeldía Zapatista, this project.
Quiero hacerlo muy corto y muy sencillo por la canción.
No, está bien. En buen equipo, así que estamos.
Okay. Ellos están hablando, bueno, la característica de esta revista, a diferencia de la rebeldía anterior, es que esta la escriben los compas zapatistas. La gente de las comunidades, la gente de las los, ¿cómo se llama? Los autoridades autónomas, los maestros, las personas de que tienen comisiones como en salud o educación.
So one of the big differences between this magazine, Rebeldía Zapatista, and the previous incarnation of the magazine, which was just called Rebeldía, is that this magazine is actually written exclusively by compas from the Zapatista autonomous communities, whereas the previous version was written by members of kind of the broader global, national, international Zapatista scene. And so in this new magazine, it's the words of folks who have cargos, have responsibilities, have positions of responsibility of leadership in the communities, and who work in the various commissions around health, education, justice, etc., in the autonomous communities themselves.
Como dice aquí, ya llevamos 30 años de construcción de cómo pensamos vivir mejor. Esto es lo que ellos humildemente han pensado, pero creen que es bueno.
¿Dónde estamos?
So, like, as we said,
no, es que
like,
es la uno.
As the paragraph said, we have been at this for 30 years, exploring ways on how to live better, more holistically, and with humbleness. This is the way that we've been going about it.
Ellos saben que lo que ellos han hecho en 30 años es un gran logro, que ha llevado mucha democracia, mucho estudio, mucho trabajo de todos los días, y que eso nos sirve a nosotros, y por eso crean la Escuelita Zapatista.
So they know that what they have done over the last 30 years is a great achievement, and it's something that has been the result and is the result of hard work every day, of study, of learning together, and this is what has led to the Escuelita Zapatista, which is a product of these 30 years of ongoing work.
Pero muy otros como son ellos, no están dejando más bien esta práctica de neoliberal, capitalista, individualista, de que lo cuenten los que saben, o Marcos, o los literatos, o los académicos, o la gente que dirige. Ellos vieron que tiene mucho más valor que lo cuente la gente que hace el trabajo, la gente de las comunidades y la gente que está en los proyectos.
So what they've done is kind of broken with this old practice of letting those who know tell what's happening. Those who know being academics, experts, leaders, Marcos, etc. And they found that there's so much greater value in letting the people who are doing the work on the ground every day tell those stories and tell us and explain what is happening.
Y como muchos desconfían, dicen, pues Marcos dice lo que dice, ¿no? Pero ¿será así como realmente la gente piensa? ¿Será así como la gente vive y quiere estar en colectividad y en trabajo, haciendo trabajo político? Por eso tenían que hacer la Escuelita Zapatista.
So a lot of people were questioning and were doubting, is this really how it is, as Marcos says? Is what Marcos says really the truth of what happens day to day and how people are really living and working and struggling? Because with that doubt came the need for a show of how things really are and how people are really living and working. And this is what the Escuelita was about really showing how people are thinking about and doing the struggle.
Y otra cosa es porque ellos pensaron que así su palabra llegaría mucho más lejos. Dicen ellos aquí en una parte que la palabra de ellos va a cruzar los mares y muchas distancias, más que en el 94 lo hicieron las balas que iban a 50 metros y a 100 metros. Su palabra va a toda Europa, a todos los confines de América.
So the idea that they had was that with the Escuelita, their word would go much further, is able to travel much further. It's able to travel and cross the oceans, cross all the seas. And specifically, the idea that it can travel much further than the bullets that were fired in 1994 could travel. Those bullets could travel 50 meters, 100 meters. The word now of the Zapatistas through the Escuelitas is able to travel to all of Europe, to all the corners of the Americas, etc.
Y ellos ven que pueden enseñar con el ejemplo, que nosotros tenemos mucho que aprender, que tenemos años trabajando y luchando, pero por alguna razón no llevamos por muchos años los proyectos. Nuestros proyectos se terminan en un año, en 5 años, mientras que ellos tienen 30 años en esta construcción. Entonces, humildemente están tratando de enseñarnos lo que ellos han aprendido.
And they have seen that they can share and their knowledge and teach by example, because many of us have ongoing projects that go for a year or 5 years, but then they end, and they have realized that for them it has worked because they have kept at it, and they've been doing this for almost 30 years.
Pero también nos están dando una responsabilidad a los que fuimos a la escuelita de traer la palabra a todas partes, de llevarle la palabra a los que no pudieron ir por el dinero o por las fronteras o por lo que sea, ¿no? De traer la palabra a cada grupo, a cada comunidad, porque es la única herramienta también que ellos tienen para que sepa el mundo que todavía existe, porque ellos no están en los medios, o sea, ni Televisa, ni CNN, ni nadie va a decir que existen y que se han desarrollado y que están mucho mejor que lo que estaban en el 94.
Because, and so the people who have participated in the Escuelita, we have a responsibility to share the word of the teachings and of the communities, because this is one of their strongest tools to share knowledge. It's the word. So we have to go to every group that we can and share what we have learned and what they have shared with us. And because no one, if we don't do it, no one else will know that they exist. This is a way for everyone to be awakened and reawaken to the fact that they're still there and that they're making it work and that is flourishing still, because they're never going to be in Televisa or CNN or any mass media.
Y entonces después de la escuelita, para mantener este diálogo, de conocernos más y de aprender y de compartir, como ellos dicen, por eso están escribiendo y distribuyendo esta revista. Nosotros nos dieron la tarea de difundirlo, preguntamos si tenían un enlace acá y parece que no, porque bueno, creo que funcionan diferente enlaces zapatista a nivel nacional y enlaces zapatista a nivel internacional, entonces como que no tenían un enlace directo Y también por cuestiones tal vez de la frontera de mandar desde México hasta acá, nos pidieron que viniéramos, les mostráramos la revista y viéramos qué posibilidad hay y si, bueno, claro, si quieren, que a través de Tijuana se entregue la revista hasta acá.
So another thing is that they have come out with this edition of the magazine, and because there's not a direct link, because there's national and international ones, right? And there's not one that comes all the way here. They have asked us if everyone wants this to happen, that the magazines can go to Tijuana and then come over here, so that people can have them.
Bueno, y como ven, esta es una presentación sencilla, como sencillas son ellos. Y sencillos somos la gente que estamos ahí, ¿no? Este movimiento es para todos. Seamos como seamos y tengamos los modos que tengamos. Esa es otra de las grandes particularidades del movimiento zapatista. No convoca para ser uno, sino para que seamos muchos, cada cual con sus modos.
So as you've heard, this is a simple presentation because we are simple people and it's a simple movement of simple people, not in the simple sense, but in the simple sense. And the idea is to convoke and to bring together, not so that we become one, but so that we become many. And with that, I invite questions and discussion.
So if any of you all have any questions for her, we could start with that. We also have some, but we had a question about, and I was asking in Spanish. Una de las preguntas que teníamos como hora de autonomía era sobre el trabajo de solidaridad con los zapatistas en la frontera, no solo de Tijuana, pero también cómo es la situación en el contexto de una frontera tan militarizada. Hacer el trabajo solidario en Tijuana y en San Diego o con los dos pues juntos.
Pues ahí en la frontera
va a traducir la pregunta.
De una forma muy sencilla. So basically the question is about what it looks like to do solidarity work and Zapatista solidarity work from the border, from Tijuana and San Diego, in the context of an increasingly militarized border setting. So what are kind of the challenges and the reality of that?
Bueno, siempre estamos en comunicación lo que es la otra de San Diego, que ahora ya no hay la otra, ya todo es nada más la sexta. Pero siempre hemos tenido comunicación. Y ellos tienen su propio calendario de actividades y nosotros nuestras propias acciones. Pero cuando hay eventos grandes, por ejemplo, la otra de San Diego o la otra del otro lado, hace algo que le llaman Enero Zapatista, y nosotros nos sumamos a estas actividades generalmente.
So we have an ongoing dialogue, ongoing communication between Tijuana and San Diego, la otra Tijuana, la otra San Diego. There's not any la otra anymore, it's all la sexta, she clarified, in terms of the categories. But the groups in San Diego have their own calendar of events, they have their own activities that they do, we have our own in Tijuana, but when there are bigger events, bigger activities, like for example they do a Zapatista January every year, we join in for those larger events and collaborate together.
Sí, pero ha habido otros momentos como cuando se hizo el campamento, el recorrido de los zapatistas por todo el país y había un campamento con los Cucapá, buen trabajo que trabajamos juntos los dos lados todo el tiempo para organización, para reuniones, para los recursos, para preparar todo. Durante la otra campaña que se hicieron los encuentros en Tijuana, igual, y a nosotros nos toca ahí apoyar mucho porque es la única manera que la gente de este lado va a tener contacto directo con ellos, entonces siempre tenemos que prepararnos en la frontera para recibir a todos los compas de este lado, desde aquí de San Francisco, a Los Ángeles, todas esas regiones, siempre el punto de encuentro es Tijuana, entonces siempre hemos estado trabajando a ese nivel de fronterizo, ¿no? Viendo que somos el punto de encuentro.
Ok, Okay, so for example, when there was the Cucapa campamento, Cucapa camp, in the context of the Otra Campaña, this was a really big initiative, and we, both sides, participated very actively and together in all of the planning, the organization, the logistics, all of it. Since then, what's happened is that the Tijuana becomes the kind of hub, the point of convergence of all of the efforts from San Francisco, and I would say probably even further up, on down, right? So the all from San Francisco, Los Angeles, all of those communities that come into contact with Zapatismo, it happens through our organizing in Tijuana.
Sí, pero ellos tienen su autonomía y nosotros la de nosotros, y algo que ellos siempre dicen, nadie habla por los zapatistas, o sea, nosotros no somos tampoco la voz de los zapatistas ni la representación. La otra del otro lado tiene su relación directa, nada más que cuando se necesitamos, trabajamos juntos.
So all these groups have their autonomy, they have their own projects, they have their own way of working. La otra del otro lado, the other campaign on the other side, as the groups in the U.S. are called, have their own ways of working. But when we need to come together and we need to collaborate and we need to work in collaboration, we do that and we come together and we bring our projects together.
Gracias. Another question?
Well, I think that this moment has been profound in that our collaboration across like the states, across the U.S. has been unique in that we've collaborated in a way that we didn't collaborate in 94 and 97,
for example. It's a different moment because there's collaboration between different states here in the Estados Unidos that hasn't happened since 94.
There's a sense of convergence and collaboration which speaks to the success of the Zapatistas, not just the Escolita, but the strategy of Encuentro overall.
Que habla sobre lo que ha pasado sobre la colaboración y el usar lo del encuentro para poder tener acciones.
But the question I have is that is, even though we've advanced and the Escolita is clearly a shift in making autonomy much more a center of what we're doing, I still worry that we're still in the U.S., in the solidarity movement, we're still waiting for direction from the Zapatistas. We haven't solved. So we were out there today in response to that.
Dice que la dirección viene de dos formas, de una de que los zapatistas nos están como urgiendo para crear nuestra propia autonomía, y la segunda es como una guerra de baja intensidad, ¿no? Como lo que ha estado pasando y como la acción de hoy en el consulado.
No sé si eso realmente es una pregunta.
Es
cierto que siempre existe esta expectativa de que ellos nos van a enseñar o a decir cómo, o a dar dirección. Y con la escuelita fue lo de siempre. Ellos solo nos pueden mostrar cuáles han sido las cosas que practican y que les da cohesión y les da, ¿cómo se dice? Les ha permitido construir.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to interrupt. Is it les da fruto?
Ajá. Que van construyendo. Y eso es la constancia, el estudio. Por eso nos ponían a estudiar todos los días.
She says that through the escuelita, also we can see how they're trying to tell us that they can't really tell us where we should go, what we should do, but rather show us what they've been able to figure out about what's worked for them, and that some of the elements that she's saying that they've taught us is having consistency, studying and reflection, and that's why a lot of the days that we spent in the escuelita were spent studying, reading.
La autocrítica y el caminar preguntando. Ellos desde el principio, al pocos meses del levantamiento dijeron, no queremos que se vengan acá, queremos que cada quien luche en su lugar y por sus propias causas. Lo difícil ha sido para nosotros tener la paciencia que ellos tienen para construir al, con el, cotidianamente.
So, and the third element she was saying was what she had talked about before about the dual process of self-reflection and walking and questioning. And she was saying that, that since the beginning, since 94, they've been very clear about that they don't want, it's not that they want others to come to them, but rather that they should, that everyone should be building in their own place for on their own demands.
Es difícil porque nos vemos en un contexto tan diferente al de ellos y nos cuesta mucho trabajo, muchísimo trabajo. Pero debemos vernos en el espejo de ellos y autocriticarnos, ¿no? Una de las cosas que pasaron en el antes de del alerta rojo, cuando quitan el Frente Zapatista, recuerdo mucho una frase que tenía la carta que nos mandaron y decía, nos hemos dado cuenta en este año, en estos años que la palabra para ustedes no significa lo mismo que para nosotros. Entonces,
One of the things she said too is that the that what has seen what has been hard for us is to have the patience to stick it through, and especially because they're here, we're in a very different context that it's hard to kind of see how we can look at ourselves in the reflection that the Zapatistas hold up and see and self-reflect on what it is that we're going to build from that reflection. And
to them, they said that that we take the word, we take
word
our spoken word differently than they do. Like
the word to them means is completely different than what the word is to us.
Y pues esas son las grandes diferencias. Y lo más que ellos pueden hacer es mostrarnos su trabajo e inspirarnos como como nos inspiran a todo el mundo, ¿no? Pero la tarea es nuestra.
And
that was my question. How do we take on this study?
Pero es bueno ponerlo en la mesa bien claro y discutirlo, porque no podemos, ¿cómo se dice? Avanzando sin discutir las cosas que son bien importantes, y esas son de las cosas más importantes para una organización, para crear una organización sana, fuerte, democrática.
Yeah, and so she said that that the Zapatistas can only show us what they've done, and then it's our own homework to figure out what we're going to do with it. And that, like you said, Manolo, that it's important for this to be brought up and to be put clear on the table, because this is how organizing and how building something together is going to be done in like a healthy...
más que nada, mi pregunta sobre personal, porque... Yo crecí en México y la otra parte acá en Estados Unidos, y siempre lo que he escuchado de los zapatistas ha sido de este lado de la frontera. Solo tengo curiosidad saber cómo es que el movimiento zapatista se ha unido en México, porque usualmente se escucha más en las fronteras, pero me pregunto cómo es que se juntan los países acá del norte o del centro o ya más cercano a Chiapas. ¿Cuál es? O sea, es igual que... Me imagino que no es igual, pero... ¿Cómo es que se une México? Porque muchas veces lo que he escuchado de Chiapas o del zapatismo siempre ha sido de este lado, y usualmente en California o Seattle. Pero, por ejemplo, soy de Sinaloa, y nunca he escuchado, o tal vez no se da entre mis familias, pero en amistades sí.
She was just asking how if Magdalena could maybe tell her a little bit more, or tell us a little bit more how the relationship between Zapatistas groups or movements in Mexico come together, because she grew up both in Mexico and in California, and so far she's only heard about mostly she's heard about it on this side of the border. And California and Seattle, but when she was living in Sinaloa, she didn't really hear about it that much from her family or people that she knew, somewhat friends, but so she was just kind of wondering how it all comes together in Mexico.
Well, Es como aquí, la gente, o sea, no es algo que sabe todo mundo, son pequeños grupos, organizaciones, activistas, algunos de nosotros desde muchos años, ¿no? Que, uh-huh. Pero esa es otra de las partes increíbles del zapatismo. Cómo, con toda la precariedad que tienen allá, y también la gente que estamos en eso, porque ninguno somos de grandes recursos, hay una enorme difusión de las actividades y de la palabra. En el 2001, cuando la primera vez que sale Marcos, que inician esta caravana, era una de las... Bueno, todos los actos que se hicieron eran manifestaciones increíbles en toda la ciudad de México, en todos los pueblos que se fueron, que se visitaron en Michoacán, en los pueblos de ahí mismo del DF, o sea, ¿quién sabe cómo? Pero existe la organización.
So, just like here, the Zapatista kind of solidarity networks in Mexico are made up of lots of different folks, lots of different groups, different kinds of activism, different kinds of projects. But what's incredible is that given the precarity that the Zapatista communities live in and that all of us live in, because none of these folks that are involved in this activism and the solidarity work come from money, basically, that despite this precarity the capacity to disseminate information and to create that those networks of communication is just really tremendous. And so that's one of the most extraordinary things about Zapatismo. For example, in 2001, this is where I meet up. For example, in 2001, with the major caravan to Mexico City, that's a place that we saw the major sort of culmination of all this kind of capacity to network and to bridge communication.
Marcos was going to different communities and sharing
just,
the words.
Not just Marcos.
And yeah.
It wasn't just Marcos, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, the other thing about that is there were comandantes that went with el sur, but they didn't tell people how to organize and how to host them, right? They never said, we're coming and you have to host us this way. They just said, we're going to go from here to Mexico City and we're going to stop along this will be our route, and people mobilize in small groups, right? Small groups that have been organizing for a long time, but new groups also come in and so on. But that's part of the power of the palabra. It's like, well, we're here, right? This is where we're going to go.
So se decía que cuando vino Marcos y los otros comandantes, no les preguntaron a nadie. Aquí así es como nos van a recibir, que la gente sola fue la que organizó como lo recibieron.
Ellos nomás avisan que la gente se organiza. Entonces hay una enorme organización que a veces no es tan visible, pero existe, ¿no? Y debemos confiar más. En un taller hace poquito nos decían sobre eso, ¿no? De cómo no nos tenemos confianza del trabajo político que hacemos, pero sin embargo cuando pasan estas cosas vemos que hay un montón de gente luchando. ¿Por qué no tener confianza? Pero además ellos han confiado su vida desde el 2000, desde el 94 en nosotros. Entonces necesitamos hacer esta reflexión de tener más confianza en la capacidad que tenemos de organizar y de luchar.
So she's saying that we don't believe in our own capacity to organize, right? We don't really even recognize our own capacity to organize, but then we see in these moments when the Zapatistas say, we're going to be coming to this town, this town, this town, this town on this caravan, we see that tremendous capacity to organize, that tremendous ability to come together and work together. We see that in practice, and it happens time and time again. And so we need to recognize that capacity that we have and see it when it happens, see it in moments like this where we see all these different groups coming together, see that and recognize what that really means.
And trusting each other, trusting ourselves and trusting each other's work, because when it all comes, we realize that there's a lot of people doing really good work and we need to just give in to each other a little bit more and trust.
Yeah, and on that note, I think one of the things that we had talked about for this meeting was also to talk about what Zapatista Solidarity looks like here in the Bay Area and how we can use what we've learned from the Escuelita, what we can learn in the future about what they've written about the Escuelita to further our own autonomous projects, our own our own autonomous projects here.
That are informed by Zapatismo and also acknowledging not only just the post-Escuelita moment, but the history of struggles here before, you know, this last year that in relation to Zapatismo. Mm-hmm.
And in that context, Caro, I mean, me quedé con este cosa que significa la palabra para nosotros aquí, ¿no? Mm-hmm.
Bueno, con eso, porque la palabra traducido, so what she's saying is like, what does la palabra mean for us here? And like, when you translate la palabra and you call it the word, it sounds like some kind of evangelical. It really changes its meaning. It sounds, o sea, la palabra traducida al inglés se vuelve como algo súper raro. Y, yo no me identifico con the word, ¿no?
Bueno.
Pero creo cuando que hay algo más profundo, que no es simplemente México, una cuestión de traducción, ¿no?
Ajá, cuando en México dices la palabra o empeñas la palabra, uh-huh, es como una promesa. Uh-huh. Es lo que te el valor que está de tus actos detrás de decir, yo hago esto. Uh-huh. O sea, que tú eres 100% confiable o no. En la medida que cumples, tienes palabra. Uh-huh. Si cumples siempre lo que dices, eres... Yeah. Tienes palabra. Uh-huh. Si haces la mitad de lo que dices que vas a hacer, si no lo haces, no tienes palabra, se dice.
She's saying that in Mexico, the connotation of saying, it's more like the translation would be your word,
give
like
your word,
having
yeah,
word, because that when you say that you're giving your palabra, that there's a commitment behind it, and that you will kind of be like, not judge, but that there'll be a measurement of whether you did what you said you were going to do or whether you did half of it, you know? So I think your word, like saying that you have word, is more of a, like a direct translation.
Pero hay como un doble sentido también, porque es decir que es tu palabra y que, o sea, es tu responsabilidad, pero también es compartir tu palabra, o sea, compartir tu historia, compartir tu perspectiva, compartir tu lucha, ¿no?
Tu perspectiva y tu ética.
Todo eso, o sea, hay... No simplemente es decir, voy a hacer eso, sino voy a hacer eso desde mi
corazón.
Sí, exacto, sí. O sea, hay algo mucho más. O sea, no es decir, voy a firmar eso que dice.
Pero mira,
que voy a
otra
cumplir.
Vez estamos mirando allá, pero ¿qué significa para nosotros sí. aquí?
Eso es lo que
es la pregunta.
Significa algo diferente.
Bueno, yo lo que quería decir es que va más allá de la concepción del derecho, ¿no? Que en términos legales podría significar firmar un documento. Los humanos últimamente hemos llegado a la necesidad del derecho para obligarnos a cumplir algo y tener que escribir y firmar y testigos y todo, si no, no creemos la promesa. Pues la palabra es la palabra en términos de del zapatismo o de la concepción indigenista en general, no nomás del zapatismo, porque no son los únicos que creo que en el mundo piensen en que la palabra significa entregar la verdad, o sea, hablar con la verdad completamente de corazón.
So this goes beyond this idea of rights and our kind of attachment to rights as, you know, as in this modern age of like everything's connected to legalities and signing, you know, in order to commit or in order to trust in something, we have to have kind of witnesses and paperwork and legal institutions that kind of grant this idea of rights versus thinking of it as our true commitment to in our practice and in our word. From our heart, and I don't know if I missed.
Because he says that also there's other groups, indigenous groups, and other groups in Mexico that share this this sort of it's a belief that saying something means that you're gonna do it, that what you say is it's sort of like sacred. So, like, building onto what he said, in a lot of Mexica ceremonies, to say to have the word to be able to speak out loud, is showing your essence and showing your spirit. And so it's as sacred as a fire. So that's why a lot of sayings go, la palabra es como el fuego. So you have to be careful what you say, mm-hmm. because just how you can heal, you can hurt. So
it seems to me too that, and I don't know this, but I'm asking, so it seems to me there's also like a collective dimension. It's not just an individual, it's not an individual, somebody saying an individual in terms of rights or legality, but it's also somebody sharing on behalf of a collective subject. So like even today, if I should have said, I thank you for letting me share my word, and if my word is the word of Universidad de la Tierra Califas, mm-hmm. it wasn't really just me speaking, it was me being the moment to share Palabra de Universidad de la Tierra Califas. I'm saying that because also I don't think we're in the habit. We're not in the habit of it, because my worry is that we don't know how to learn. We don't know how to learn from the Zapatistas. We don't know how to learn from the Mexico Profundo.
I mean, I mean, I think that something that comes. Bueno, dice que. Que hay un elemento colectivo, ¿no? Que la palabra en el contexto del zapatismo, en el contexto de México, de los pueblos indígenas, no es mi palabra, sino es nuestra palabra, ¿no? Uh-huh. Es un enunciar colectivo, es desde un grupo, desde una realidad colectiva, ¿no? Uh-huh. O sea, eso es lo que lo distingue de una posición legalística, de derecho, etcétera, ¿no? Y creo que es algo que nos falta, que a mí me falta, por lo menos, y creo que en el contexto de Estados Unidos, es separar una palabra colectiva de una posición de representación. O sea, decir nuestra palabra y que yo hablo como parte de una colectividad no significa que yo represento a esta colectividad. Porque los zapatistas creo que nos han dado muchas pistas sobre cómo complicar lo que es la representación. O sea, no son representantes, son voceros, ¿no? O sea, son delegados, ¿no? So what I'm saying is just that, like, I think that something that complicates the word, the collective word, in the context of U.S. society, whatever that is the question of representation, that there can be a collective word, an our word, that isn't a word of representation, that isn't saying I am speaking as a representative of this collective experience, but rather I am speaking from a collective point of view, mm-hmm. right, which I think is a distinction that isn't always very present here. But I think is one of the biggest lessons that the Zapatistas have shared with us, which is really complicating that idea of representation. It's not a representative that travels and shares the word of the Zapatistas. It's a delegate. It's a spokesperson, right? And there is a difference there, at the risk of falling into some kind of semantic abstraction.
Pero ellos lo hacen de una forma muy graciosa y nos obligan a pensar más en y profundizar más en eso, porque si se acuerdan, Marcos dice muchas cosas que a la gente molesta e incomoda mucho, y se pone y chacotea y dice todo lo que le da su gana. Pero cuando habla por los zapatistas, y siempre, él o ahora Tacho, no Moisés, si generalmente dicen, por mi voz habla el Comité Clandestino Revolucionario Indígena, Comandancia General del Ejército Zapatista de Liberación Nacional, todo eso. O sea, ellos se imponen cuando no es su palabra. Marcos se da el lujo de ser quien es y decir todo lo que quiera, pero cuando habla por la comunidad o por los zapatistas, lo hace de una forma muy clara y muy formal, y no es mi palabra ni es lo que yo decidí, es lo que me mandaron decir. ¿Sí? Y esto es bueno, porque no podemos perder nuestra identidad de quiénes somos o cómo pensamos, y nuestra libertad de decir lo que quiero decir, pero también respetar y darle su lugar por encima, tal vez, pero sin perderse en el individuo, pues. Uh-huh. El valor de la colectividad, pero y de la individualidad, de una forma más humana, más honesta, no de number one o de VIP, sino real, humana.
So the distinction that she's pointing to is she says that when Marcos writes as Marcos, he says all kinds of things that offend all kinds of people and that bother us and that make us uncomfortable. But he writes that as Marcos, and those are his words. And he says very clearly that they are his words as Marcos when he tells these kind of witty stories that make us laugh. But when he, or now Moises, write on behalf of the Zapatistas and they sign it, through my voice speaks the voice of the clandestine committee of the Zapatistas, the EZLN, you know, with this long sort of signature of who it's really speaking of, there's a seriousness, there's a very different tone that comes in those messages. And that's a responsibility that they take in that collective kind of voice that they are transmitting. And so there's that difference there, that there's the collective voice and then there's the individual voice. And what's important, as Magdalena's pointing out, is the that in that collectivity, the individual doesn't get lost. There are still individuals that make up that collectivity. So there are those individual voices, those individual experiences, those individual perspectives, ideas that are what makes that collectivity, but also exist on their own.
In a humanistic and beautiful way of existing.
Hasta simpáticos son. They're even funny, she says.
Y esa es otra lección que siempre nos recuerdan cuando los vemos. Diviértanse, hagan fiesta. Esto nos hace pueblo y nos hace comunidad y nos hace realmente tener una conexión humana. No solo se trata de seguir planes o crear planes y metas, se trata de ser, de reír, de llorar, de jugar, de bailar. Sí, o sea, la vida, porque yo interpreto esto, o sea, ¿qué estamos defendiendo los como los activistas de antes que eran militantes y muy rígidos? ¿Qué defendían? Un mundo que no una vida que no disfrutaban. Tenemos que disfrutar de ser amigos, de ser compañeros, de la familia y de todo lo que nuestra cultura nos regaló o nos heredó. Con la música, el baile o lo que sea, ¿no? Las fiestas tradicionales.
Yeah, she's saying that's another lesson the Zapatistas offer us is humor and the foundation of having fun, and that's actually something that builds community and makes people a people, is being able to share just like the everyday parts of life that are about enjoyment, unlike maybe like older militant activists who were about defending something that maybe a lot of people saw that wasn't really just like fun.
So what are you fighting for? Are you fighting for life and community and laughing together and creating family, or are you fighting for a militant type of life? No fun?
That no one will enjoy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's about celebrating. Yeah.
Me gustó bastante la pregunta que hizo Manolo, porque creo que es una pregunta bastante complejo, pero al mismo tiempo muy importante. I like the question that Manolo just asked, because I thought it's a very complex question when you come to embrace it. It's also a very important question, because cuando pienso yo en como yo me desarrollé como persona, pienso en las formas que lo que yo pensaba que era legítimo fue robado de mí. Y estoy pensando esto. And I'm just thinking about the ways that in my own development as a person, like where my legitimacy to, you know, my own will was, you know, in a way taken from me through, you know, in society. And I'm thinking like a lot of the times we think about, you know, Zapatistas and Zapatismo as something legitimate that we draw from. And that reaches the question of that we're not learning exactly how we should be from the Zapatistas.
I've always thought that it's strange that we're asking them to teach us how to listen to our communities. As if siempre me lo veo raro que los pregunto que la pregunta que los dan los zapatistas es que cómo se puede escuchar nuestros propios pueblos o comunidades, ¿no? Porque es un problema, porque debemos nosotros tener la solución, no esperar que los zapatistas los den un comunicado. I said that as being a kind of problem, or at least a question, in the sense that we should be able to find a way to listen within our own communities and not have to let the Zapatista somehow guide us. And that question goes to, maybe we're not listening, or what we're seeing from Zapatistas as a practice of listening, we're translating it wrong. Possibly, maybe not in every place. Que a lo mejor es una cosa que los cuando se traduce la palabra de los Zapatistas en términos de escuchar al pueblo, a nosotros se los lo interpretamos mal. O en nuestras comunidades, no totalmente es el ejemplo, pero en ciertos ejemplos sí es que se puede decir que no estamos escuchando bien. How can we proceed to maybe work on that? ¿Cómo podemos empezar a trabajar, a hacer eso como un trabajo? Because that seems to be always the call. Like when the Zapatistas say, "Are you listening?" It's, you know, it's kind of like their world crumbling, ours rising. Well, we gotta make sure that we're not the one also like crumbling. You know, it's in a sense like that when we hear that, it's also something that something's rising, that we're making something rise to. Que cuando los Zapatistas dicen que estás escuchando, es el mundo de tuyo bajándose y nosotros más subiendo, ¿no? Que nosotros no seamos los que estamos también bajando. Y cómo podemos hacer ese proceso es lo que me interesa más. How to think of that process.
No sé, yo creo que todas esas cosas son para platicarlos, ir teniendo más claridad de la identidad. Y cuando dice escuchar, pero tal vez no es escuchar al pueblo, es escucharlos a nosotros mismos. Cosas como la que tú decías sobre cuál es tu relación con tu propia identidad. Y la que escojas es buena. Lo que desde el levantamiento, lo que ellos plantean a las primeras cosas es un mundo donde quepan muchos mundos. No queremos eliminar ni siquiera el capitalismo. Sí, las relaciones de poder y de trabajo que nos tienen a unos abajo y a otros arriba. Pero que hay gente que se siente muy bien con este estilo de vida, pero que no deje de existir el de ellos. Donde nosotros, por ser indígenas, a los que tenemos una raíz indígena, no se nos niegue el acceso. O sea, no es privado de los güeros esto, que es de lo que estabas hablando, que parece que por no ser americano, tú no tienes como el derecho a algo. No es tuyo, ni a celebrar, ni a sentir, o de entrar a una universidad, sino... Entonces, ahí hay una... Yo creo que hay años de colonización interna. O sea, tenemos muy internalizada la colonización. Y habrá que hacer este ejercicio, tal vez, de ver quiénes somos o con quiénes o qué identidad nos sentimos bien. Porque indios ya no somos, porque yo me gustaría creer que soy india. Pero desde mi abuela, ella ya fue arrancada de su cultura. Y no tengo nada y no sé nada de eso. Sé que tengo un aspecto indígena, pero que... No, por más que romántica que me ponga diciendo que soy india, pues no sé ni cómo se vive ni cómo se es ser indio. Entonces, hay que recuperar nuestra esencia, hay que ver que tanto el sistema capitalista y los del poder nos han enseñado a pensar y a sentir y a... Y nos han enseñado a fragmentarnos también.
Something, what she's saying is that also within that conversation that Pablo was starting was also about thinking about how having a solid foundation on our own identities, that it's not just listening to our communities as a whole, but also having a hold on who we are as individuals. And that just like the Zapatistas call for a world where many worlds fit, there's an understanding that just how, like, some people may be comfortable living in a certain way, it shouldn't mean that other people aren't allowed to live differently, so that...
There should be access, there should be equal access to things, and we're not necessarily talking about abolishing certain things or certain things shouldn't exist, but there should be an equal playing ground, and that in order to take back what we can, we have to understand who we are as individuals and where our root is, because even if I want to romanticize that I'm indigenous and because my grandma was, even though she was stripped of her roots from an early age, the fact is that I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about my traditions or my roots. So we have to look inside and see what it is that we can relate to that empowers us and gives us a sense of self-autonomy to be able to fight or struggle together effectively in order to create change.
I think I just kind of want to add to that, Este, y'all can help me.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm kidding. I think part of it too is that's what capitalism does and empire does is it strips us of our dignity. I think that's the lesson from the Zapatistas that I value the most is that we come into spaces and we devalue ourselves through our own palabra of ourselves, and that is capitalism at work right there. Or because we don't have access to our land, to our home, to our spirit, to our ancestors, to our grandparents, we think we're stripped of nothing, and that's what the U.S. does to us as workers. It makes us think that we're completely invalid. And I think that it's important while we're having these conversations to really keep in mind that we ourselves and our spirit is not the enemy, but capitalism, empire, and patriarchy, all of its manifestations are it. And I think the important part for us here, somewhere as saturated as the Bay Area, the Northern California, is to really respect our movements, even as small or as humble as they are. But we are so rich in collectives here. And I think really valuing and taking these spaces as strategy, strategic conversation points of being okay, we're confronting such massive fucking threats to our daily lives, incarceration, deportations, it's severe, but también our collectives matter. And I think that's the agreement here of dignity, of giving ourselves back our dignity, even in palabra and conversation. I think for me, that's an important starting place. Because I just noticed we always strip ourselves because that's our history of being brown or black or enslaved. That's colonialism in the U.S. But I feel like that's a lesson I'm always trying to reflect on with Zapatismo, is how do we reinsert our dignities in our communities and reclaim what we are doing well, at least, or effort is doing well. Because the Bay, Nina, we have to respect, there's so much political history here. I mean, we can't say we have nothing. Mm-hmm. We really can't make it sound like that. That's not honoring the people who have thrown down so hard for us to even be in this room right now.
Mm-hmm. Y puede ser bien sencillo como en los análisis de la escuelita dices, ¿y cómo te sentiste? ¿Y fue bueno? Así, no es como te vamos a hacer un gran escrito y es tan sencillo, puedes aprender tanto de lo simple que y a veces creemos que tiene que estar algún trabajo muy complicado para encontrarnos y encontrar la lucha y cómo se deben hacer las cosas. Así es así.
So she's saying that it can be as simple and as easy to access as asking ourselves, and how did you feel? Was it good? And that we don't have to go through all these puzzles to understand where the fight is or the struggle, that we can access it.
Yeah, that we can, develop our analysis. It doesn't have to be this crazy, extravagant thing. That it can be as simple as, do we trust in each other and know that if we're asking, was this good for you, how we did it, and that is valid enough.
Con la ausencia se olvidan los recuerdos de una historia. recuerdo.